Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com, or you are on the most efficient way to get the show by entering Warman Kickfighting Show into the iTunes search engine, and the show pops right up. I'll go ahead and get right into the kickboxing action. I'll go ahead and start off with Muay Thai. I was not able to see these fights, but I do want to bring up the results because it's always important when someone is consistently winning in the U.S. Like that's very important to you know, what we're trying to accomplish as far as growing the sport over here, and not just growing the sport, also star building. Like that's very important. Consistent wins create star building. If you got a guy who is competing and winning at a high level, and they're doing it every time they go out there, you are going to draw attention. That's what this game is about. It's about winning times 10 if the person can look exceptional. We got a couple guys doing that on the Lion Fight card. Chip Morzo Pollard gets another victory, this time over Mark McKinnon. Scorecards of 47-47 even, and then 48-46 two times, and the other one for the cruiserweight title. You know, Pollard's a good talent. He's a, you know, he's got good aggression. He's a good athlete. Also helps in this game. Did MMA for a little while. Would lose when he would get into the grappling and wrestling exchanges. And not necessarily because he couldn't get up, but because they kept him from getting into his offensive flow. And I think that now, full-time in kickboxing, full-time in Muay Thai, he's doing a really, really good job. He's been their consistent winner for quite some time. He also took a fight over in England, you know, when they mixed it up between with the connections that Lion Fight has out there. He's doing good, and they're using him regularly, and that's all very, very important. So definitely good stuff with Pollard. He continues the winning streak. Also continuing the winning streak is Steve Walker, as he gets a stoppage victory over William Siriapai. William, of course, had a little bit of gun on him. Wasn't the typical guy that you're looking for at the super cruiserweight division. I think this fight was taken, I don't have the exact number, but around the low 200s. Walker is still a project. He's growing. You know, he's having success, and he had such a, you know, he had that violent first fight, but really he's still playing with the tools and putting it together, growing all the time. He just needs to fight as much as possible. I wish that he had more opportunities than just the Lion Fight opportunities. And what I mean by that is if he could go to Thailand and get some fights, anything to get more opportunities to compete and get paid is going to be good for him as they move forward. I'm not sure what their long-term plan is for him. I don't know if they want to make a, you know, super cruiserweight title for Lion Fight for the division. But I do know that Walker has been consistently winning. William took this fight on short notice, so we didn't get his best effort, and I'm sure you know how it is. Those any athlete that takes a fight short notice and loses will usually want another opportunity with a full camp. But in this situation, Walker had more physical tools, or more God-given tools, if you will. And even if he's not throwing the cleanest combos all the time, he does execute with a lot of power whenever he does do something, whether it's a little wide or it's, you know, power and straight. Walker does have physical tools to hurt you, so good stuff there, and he continues the streak. We have a couple others I just wanted to mention on the undercard. Jordan Harris gets a victory over Mike Triana. That was 48-46, 47-47, 48-46. Also, Tom Evans gets a victory over Fernando Perez, and Ricardo Mixco gets a stoppage victory over Bizrat Asfera. And, you know, it's just Lion Fight. They've been, you know, doing their thing on Flow Combat. They like that relationship. Clearly not the exposure and the Twitter talk that you'll get when, you know, you're on Access TV or ESPN or something like that. But, man, it's definitely was a good good that they're having another card, because sometimes people worry about the gaps in the card. So I was really, really, you know, just pleased that this came about. And hopefully more from them coming forward. We're going to go ahead and go to Glory of Heroes that took place in China. They brought out their biggest star in Qin Jingliang. He gets a victory over Sam Chedid. Jingliang is one of the best fighters in the world. He's continuing to show that clearly at one period of time. I'm really hoping that he gets to move on and fight more international opportunities in terms of outside of China. He's getting international opposition. That's not the question. They've definitely been bringing in some of the better international fighters to fight him. And again, I'm sure he gets a pretty good paycheck, and he may not be interested in leaving China. But there is something to fighting someone in their hometown and getting victories. And I've mentioned it with female fighter Iman Barlow before. She's not only the long-reigning and fusion champion, but a lot of times she will fight the best girl of the country that the promotion has gone to. And while she's there, she has, dealing with hostile crowds and, you know, the other girl being the one that people really desire to get the W. And she's gotten her hands raised in that situation. And that's important to me. That's why I love when the international ties, when the ties get those opportunities, if they go to some place abroad, you know, and Sanchez starts styling on a guy and beats him in France, that means something to me. It means something to go to someone else's hometown, perform in such a way where you win the crowd over and you get a W. And I would like to see if Quinn Jingliang can get that opportunity. Now, again, this is a TV show in China, so he's always going to be to his benefit and to the benefit of his pockets to fight here. But he's a very, very talented guy. Anything from Kui Jingliang is going to be good for kickboxing in China. So keep fighting, keep building that resume, and it should be a lot of fun. Wei Ru gets a victory over Sasa Jovanovic, I think that Wei Ru is one of the best fighters in the world. You know, I love the KO victory here was with a hook kick. When he made his run in K1 and he was able to win the championship, I could see that he had skill, but I was like, hey, he's still going to struggle when he goes against the elite guys. The way the tournament worked out, he had a really good path and showed a lot of skill. Very, very talented guy, but ran into a little bit of trouble. Had some losses. This is a good bounce back, a good win. He's a super talent. Anybody in the world around, you know, the 65 kg mark or, you know, around there, I'm excited to see. He's a little bit smaller than that. Anyone who he fights is good. So keep him fighting, keep him active. He's a very, very intending fighter. Also on that card, Dang Zikui gets a victory over Razanat Jatova and Fazarelli, and then Wang Zhengjiang gets a victory over Timu Sano by unanimous decision. But once again, they're doing a good job being consistent. Glory Heroes has had their 33rd show. I'm always happy to see the fight opportunities produced on a regular basis. That's very, very important because that's what we need. We need more of the elite fighting the elite. We need as many kickboxing opportunities with paychecks as we can. And it's really good to see how consistent some of the Chinese promotions have been. Speaking of which, we stay here. We go to EM Legend 32. And Yuzhen Klein, Yovica get they continue their long win streaks. And they get their hands raised once again. It's just, I will speak about the greatness of Yuzhen Klein at length. I just want to go ahead and mention a couple of the results. I don't have them all here. Jovic is getting his victory over Gainas Bokas. The thing that I like about this knockout, and just that Jovic has really kind of found his groove, I wondered how he was going to look when he fought internationally. The reason why I say that is, I remember I had Ryan Scalia, who's, you know, now a big, you know, boxing writer and focuses on promoting boxing with his Twitter and his time. But he was a big kickboxing guy a few years ago, and I remember I had him on the podcast, and we were talking about Jovica, and he said, you know, one of the interesting things about him is he seems like he is determined to beat people in what their skill set is. So when he was a fighter of the year, he would go against a clincher, you know, like a Petr Bunchu, and he would battle him in the clinch. He was determined to win there. And he'd go against a body kicker or a smoother guy, like an Orono-style guy, and he'd go and just try to beat him with kicks and space. And if you were good with elbows and close, he would go and try to out-elbow you. There was something to how he fought you. Like, just, it meant a lot. And he is a super, super talent. And I was really, really pleased to see that. I mean, he's won for the most part, you know, like it's not that I see what he's done skill wise and I go, man, Jovic has really struggled here and really did well here, and I'm just not sure if it's going to work out here. It's not like he's shown any signs of that over the period of time. He's been consistent, and he's been consistently winning. So that should come into play. Like, that's very, very important. I don't want to mislead you as they describe that. But, man, there's also very much something to being a guy that people want to see. And I feel like Sanchai, you know, no matter what you think about his record and how he fights, there's something about Sanchai that makes you say, hey, this kid is legit. You know what I'm saying? Like, this guy is doing something, the imagination part of it. And I've mentioned it, if you ever heard me talk about mixed martial arts, one of the things that I think is great with the athletes, it's not that you're able to win, but you can take combat sports and stretch the imagination of what you think can happen. And I think that that's something that a Yotsen Klai brings to the table. Yotsen Klai has got such a powerful body kick. You know it's coming and it works anyways. It's like, it's so special when it's something, someone shows a skill set that's that unstoppable. And Sanchai, he, you know, with his handstand kick, I remember him describing it as a old school technique that he feels like he's one of the only few guys who does it. And he does it at high level, in high level stadiums. Like, this guy is just absolutely amazing. And there's something about that that adds to who you are as a fighter and who you are as an international appeal. And I thought that Jovic was just missing that. Like, I don't feel like people say, man, Sanchai's coming into this town and I'm excited. Like, there's that feel around him. I don't feel like people say, Jovic is coming and I'm excited. And I think that they should. And I think that KOs like this will add to that. It's very, very important that you get stoppages. Also on the card, Carlos Ulberg from New Zealand defeats Bruno Sassano. Split decision there at 95 kgs. I will have my eye out on both of these athletes as they move forward, because 95 kgs is a weight class in glory that we definitely want to develop and keep looking for the next. So good stuff there by Carlos. Tega Nakayama defeats Dai Zhengpeng. KO in the first round. Anytime Tega is fighting and competing, I'm all, you know, he got my full attention. That dude's good. And I want to see him continue to fight. Clearly, he has his ups and downs in K1, but I'm just so grateful that he is consistently looking for opportunities to make himself better. Jiju Yibu gets a victory over Hishimoto Ryusuke. I got to have to watch this guy more. It's my first time really being introduced to him on a major card. So G-J-I space D-U space Y-Y-I space B-U. Jiju Yibu. Definitely keep your eye out for him. He got a stoppage in the third round. Zhao Qingling gets a victory over Sato Mesa. Split decision. That one was close. Han Fuling gets a victory over Tomoyuki Nishikawa. Again, we've seen Tomoyuki on many cards in Japan and all over. Glad he's getting international experience, but Han Fuling did a good job of getting the W in this one. Also, we had in the earlier, so I don't want to miss any. This is a pretty good card. Saris Morgane Manfredi gets a victory over Zheng Jieteng. That was by unanimous decision. And then here are some of the fights that I really wanted to focus on just because they have an athlete to pay attention to. Mister, I love that. Wichipong gets a victory over Mo Adoraman. It was a split decision, but I am a big fan of Adoraman. He is a talented guy. Mo is a guy who I've seen him fight in England several times. He fought in Glory back in the day. He's a talent. Like, he brings a lot of offense, and he's a tough, tough dude. Mr. Wichipong, I just love that his first name is Mr. Wichipong, getting that victory. It's something that I want to see. I wish I could have got this fight, so I had to break it down. But this is part of the tournament, and I was not able to get a hold of this one, but he gets the victory. Sinmani, don't be confused with one of the Songmani, but sorry about that. Phone went off in the background. Songmani gets a victory over Du Jixing, and that was by unanimous decision. And then Sinmani goes on to win the tournament over Mr. Wittepong with a first-round KO. So I'll be paying attention to Sin Money a little bit more. I've only heard the name on a few cards in the past. Definitely someone to pay attention to because this is a good four-man tournament field, and we want to see what new star is created. So this is a qualifier for a larger tournament, so definitely good stuff there by Sin Money. So go ahead and go to the top of the card. The main guy I wanted to talk about for this fight card is Yotsen Klaes. He gets a victory over Young Bing. It was not an entertaining fight. It was a good victory by Yotsen Klaes, but it was a hard, greedy. It's one of those tough fights where you look back on it, and I remember in boxing, everyone remembers the very famous fight. I mean, it wasn't a great fight, but everybody remembers the very famous fight between Marvin Hagler and, not Hagler Hearns, of course, that's probably the most popular one, but Hagler and Leonard. And the reason why Leonard thought that there was a good time to go against Hagler is because in the title defense before it, Hagler won a really tough decision where he won like 8-4, but it was a greedy fight and he got hit a lot. There was a lot of headbutts and the guy stayed in the pocket and really made him earn every bit of it. And it was the kind of fight that made him start thinking about retirement. And when Leonard saw the fight, he said, now's the time to fight him. This fight for Yotsen Klaes had that kind of feel to it. Like, not that people are going to be lining up to fight Yotsen Klaes after this, but Yang Bing was, he would throw and then hold, or he would, you know, get scored on and then grab and then do a clenched knee or do something strange, like technique-wise, or like everything in him and everything in his body and everything in his demeanor was like, if I can't get a clean shot, I'm going to hold. And Yotsen Klaes, as soon as he got offense going, you know, anything going in space, it seemed like the response was for Young to shut it down, throw some big overhand and go into the clinch. Like the fight flow was a little nasty, you know, it didn't get into the clean technical experiences, you know, like a Yotsen Klaes versus Movercik, like that kind of a clean performance. It didn't offer that, but it did show how good Yotsen Klaes is. The fact that Yotsen Klaes can just retire and come back just shows how talented the dude is. He is a special, special fighter. Like, he's really, really good. And I look at him, and I look at Petrosian winning, and I look at Bukau, and I go, man, it just shows you just how great that era was in the 2000s, that they are still winning consistently right now. All of them on pretty long win streaks. Bukau had a hiccup here and there, but Bukau still won, like, you know, he's lost twice in, like, what, the last 4 or 5 years? But he's probably won, like, 40 times, you know? Like, it's just, he's so consistent. They fight so much. Yotsen Klaes fought at a high level, was injured, didn't think he'd be able to get to that level again, retired. Some fight money and some fight opportunities came, gets himself back to 70 kgs, and he's back to winning again. They really were a special breed of kickboxer. Like, kickboxer, Muay Thai fighter, however you want to say it. In both avenues, in both sports, those guys were special. And it's just really, really awesome to see them compete and win on such a high level so consistently. I will go ahead and leave that, and let's go ahead and talk about, leave the result world and talk about the prediction world, what's going down. Kunlun, or KLF, Clash of Titans, round of 16 is going down. And we got a fun one. This is a really, really fun card. It's the best kickboxing card of the weekend for sure. One of the better kickboxing cards in the world this month. I'm going to go ahead and start running down it. Fun stuff throughout. I'll just go from the bottom up. Mijan Zepina gets Wang Wuzhang. I'm very curious to see how that goes. I've seen Bujan. His name's hopped up a few times. Not as familiar with him as I am with Wenjong, who I've seen on a few other fights as far as Kunlun is concerned. As Kunlun goes into their 75th show, excited about that one. Yuya Yamada, we've seen him before. We've heard that name. He's a regular. He will go against Liu Jianbu. I'm definitely curious to see how that one goes down. Yamada's a talent. A lot of the Japanese organizations. Liu Jianbo, not one of the Chinese fighters that I'm as high on as some as others, but he's still very talented. Takuya Imamura goes against Kong Lingfeng. A lot of second consecutive Chinese versus Japanese matchup. Definitely curious to see how that one goes. Here goes a regular to the Kunlun audience. Artem Pashporin gets Zhu Boitong. Boy Tong is a talent, and he earned himself here with a very, very good tournament victory. I look out for him to be serviceable, but I think Artem Pushporin is just more talented. He's a guy who I expect to at least get to the eight or semifinal round, depending upon how the tournament breaks down. So, good stuff there. Liu Hainun goes against Feng Jingli. I like Feng Jingli. I'm curious to see how he does in this one. Does he move forward? He's a talent. Vlad Tuanov, the super prospect from the Russia, the Russian fighter, very, very talented. He goes against Cedric Menoff. Cedric has probably fought in China as much as any other international fighter over the last 5 years. He really works it, you know, so I'm definitely excited to see how this one goes. Vlad Tuanov is a guy who is almost in glory, decided to take this tournament opportunity. I'm sure it was pretty financially, you know, there's a lot of financial incentive for him going this direction. He's a talent. So he'll go against Cedric Menoff, and I think that that one will be one of the fights of the night. That should be a good one. Nicholas Ricky Larson. I love that this has got Ricky, his middle name, in it. But Nicholas Larson is going to go against Varun Tattoo. Tattoo, of course, is a guy who was known because he had the bad stoppage loss to Bukau. But he's a good talent. Won his tournament to get here. I'm always excited to see him on cards because I know he's going to give good effort. Nicholas Larson's a skilled kickboxer. Skilled kickboxer. This should be a good one. I think he's got the advantage here, but it should be fun nevertheless. Nordin Benmo goes against Sergio Kulibai. One of the fights of the year was Benmo and Moiseev. Nordin's one of the talents, one of the guys that you would expect to have success on this card and continue to win down the road. He's good. Sergey, there's nothing against him. He's still a talented guy. But Nordin Benmo, I think, is a different level. Jordan Piquera goes against Gianni Risco. As we continue the theme, we had an infusion guy in the fight before, and now we got an infusion guy here with Gianni Risco. Jordan Piquera was the, and still is, if I remember correctly, the crush champion. He is a good, strong guy who throws power in spots. Now, again, he had rough K-1 tournament because he ran into the, eventual champion. I don't want to go into the K-1 action. I'll go ahead and keep it here. Jordan, despite his work over in K-1 in Japan, he has been consistently looking for international opportunities and fighting elite guys. He does not throw the cleanest, but he does throw the meanest. And he's always struggled for finding consistent kickboxing offense. He doesn't have a combination of low kick flow. He usually rips a single kick to the body, to the head, or to the leg, like maybe 6-7 times around. But most of the round is him walking around looking to bang it out, looking to score big shots, looking to catch you kicking on one leg while he's punching on two legs. He's looking for those opportunities. Gianni Risco, of course, he's one of the guys who got the victory over Bukau earlier. What was that? January or February that happened? Bukau was injured, but it just shows that Risco, tough guy. He's had a great run his last couple of years. His fight career is way better than I would have ever expected. I thought he was going to have a good career, but think about this. In the last 2 years, he has victories over Bukau and Andy Sauer. That is not something that I would have predicted before. So last 3 years, he's had some pretty notable legends on his resume. Still struggles with the elite of his weight class. I think, if I remember correctly, he's even got an injury victory over Typhoon Oskin. So talk about that. Gianni Risco has creeped himself into the top 10 fighters in the world, sometimes out of circumstance, sometimes because things went his way. So good stuff for Gianni Risco. Him and Picard should put on a good fight. Anatoly Moiseev, one of my favorite fighters in the world. He's going to go against Zvi Kirya. Zvi Kirya was once a glory champion, on a great comeback that he had over Andy Ristie. He's a talent. He's a good guy. He's not good enough to beat Anatoly Moiseev. He's not big enough or strong enough. I feel like he'll start kickboxing with him for a little bit. He'll be losing the kickboxing, and then he'll start going to his, rolling thunder kick and just stuff that he does to stall off the time while Moiseev runs away on the scorecards. Moiseev is a talent. So if you look at this field, it's easy to see Larson. It's easy to see Moiseev. It's easy to see Benmo as the, and Vlad Tuanov, some of the standout international talents. Good stuff here. Nayanes Ayman goes against Superbon Bondrumek, another super name in this in this tournament, another guy who you would expect to be somewhere at the end. Even though he lost to Andy Semelier, he still and he lost to Gregorian, so he had two losses in a row. He's still a talented guy, a guy who I expect to be competing with the best in the world for a while. He's very, very good. Victor Nagby goes against Zayanis Zuev, the last fight on this this super card. This is a really fun card. Shout out Victor Nagby, the Australian fighter, has been fighting and winning in China for quite some time. You know, he's the kind of guy who wins three, lose one, win four, lose one. He's been consistent in getting opportunities and fighting, and I'm glad that he is where he is. This is a good tournament for him. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm definitely going to be trying to check it out. Definitely follow Grabaka Hitman if you guys aren't able to find a stream of this. Grabaka Hitman does a really good job of posting these videos, or at least clips of the KOs. So he'll be very, very important over the next few days. But for me, Grabaka Hitman is important every weekend. So he's one of the most important guys in combat sports, period. And I love his work on Twitter. So definitely follow Grabaka Hitman on Twitter if you're not. And check out his website, his WordPress. He just does a good job of getting the combat sports action out to people. Just one of the underappreciated guys in the game. Those who know him, praise him. But really, really good stuff. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about this card, and I'm excited about this weekend of fights. You know, it's just, it is always about the next. You know, the next event. You got Glory the following week after that. Kickboxing is doing fine. You know, we're doing fine. We're having a lot of opportunities for athletes to go out and compete and, you know, make money for their family. And that, in the end, is what I really want to do. And that's what we all really want to do in the sport. I want people to fall in love with kickboxing so much that they sit down and they make sure they watch it, kickboxing and Muay Thai. And when they watch it and the ratings come, the TV deals come, all of that leads to more money and more opportunities for elite-level combat sports athletes who want to, preference kickboxing. And I want to do my best to get that out, and I want to do my best to continue to praise those athletes who put that time in. It really is a wonderful game and a wonderful sport. So I want to thank everybody for listening. I think I'm going to wrap the show up there. Going to be around 30 minutes today. I'll come back next week with a Glory breakdown. There's a couple random news and notes that aren't that huge. You know, Buddy Hari will not fight in that September card. Everybody was thinking it was going to happen for sure because they're going to go to Johan Cruyff Arena. It's a big arena. They're thinking that Buddy Hari is going to be in that card. It's looking like he will not be one of the fighters on that. So that's just something that came out. We had a victory over, I guess I will mention this one because both of these guys used to be towards the top. We had a victory this past weekend from, Chris Ngimbe gets a victory over Armin Petrosian, who, if you've been listening to me for a long time, you know that I have given him the nickname Dirty Petrosian. And I call him that, and I've been calling him that for years because he has clean moments in the fight, and then all of a sudden he'll get into exchanges. He'll get into. I'm laughing as I say this because I just went to liver kick, and then they too quoted me on calling him Dirty Petrosian because that's who he is. He has these offensive moments where everything's clean and everything's working in space, but then he'll get right into the clinch and grab on, and it's like he'll try to suffocate rounds away. So Georgia Petrosian has confidence in being himself for 1,000 rounds in a row. He will be able to comfortably win with counters, win with his 3-2, win with feints 1-2s, win with his inside leg, power leg, rear leg attacks with his power leg. Like, he will be able to consistently play that patient game throughout, fully confident that he's going to be able to score more offense and not take that much in return. Whereas Dirty Petrosian will get into an offensive flow and look great. Everything will be coming together. And then at some period of time, he won't feel as confident, won't throw as confident, and he'll feel the desire to get into clinches, grab on. It just doesn't work the same for him. It's a different feel to it. So, sorry, my phone went off in the background. he has always struggled with that, but he's still been able to get some good wins, and he's had a good career. He's got to travel internationally, he's had some good fights, and not everybody in the world is going to be Jorge Petrosian and Brokaw. That's not the case. Leading to this and adding to this is Chris Ngimbi. Man, Chris is a guy who's been fighting. He literally, when he's done with his career, he's going to be like, I fought everybody, because he really did. You know, this is a guy who fought Yuten Clyde just earlier this year, and in his prime, Robin Van Roosmalen, and in the Showtime days, he fought all the best guys. And this is a guy who went out and got his law degree. He's got to practice. So for him to get the split decision over Dirty Petrosian, that's just really good stuff. Shout out to Chris Ngimbi, staying in the game, working hard. Also in his card, this is the ONE Championship. This is their kickboxing organization. I apologize. They did not get that in at the top. Pentecost Yusuf gets a victory over Hanzi Hoi. That was a unanimous decision. And then I think there was one more. I felt like I'm forgetting one. Shek Muktong, Fighter Muay Thai Gym, gets a victory over Brown Pines by unanimous decision after three rounds. But that's just one more that I saw. I was just thinking before I wrap the show up. I said a lot in a very short period of time. Please forgive me. I'm you know, where I'm from in America, we talk fast. So definitely grateful for all the people who've been listening, all the people who've been following the podcast. I'm going to try to be regular. I've been regular the last few weeks for you. I'm going to try to keep that streak going. Thank everyone for listening. I apologize for the sound stuff. I probably got to get a new laptop, because every time I start doing the podcast, I feel like the engine is revving in my laptop. So please forgive. I'll get that fixed, and we'll make sure I have better audio for you moving forward. But thanks, everybody, for listening. Everybody for following the podcast. I really do appreciate it. And get out there and watch as much kickboxing and Muay Thai as you can. God bless and peace.